I promise y'all, a while ago, Becky handed me a Kleenex, and I truly thought I must have had something on my face. It took me a minute to figure out that I might cry, but I have it up here. Some of you boy moms may understand that. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you." It doesn't say, "My grace may be sufficient for you." It doesn't say, "I hope that my grace will be sufficient for you." And so all together with me, let's say that, emphasizing the "is" together. My grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for you, and it's sufficient for me. To me, walking in faith means that I obey God's word despite the circumstances and despite what my feelings are. And you know, faith is not wimpy. All of us boy moms know we don't need wimpy stuff. And even you women and girl moms, we don't want wimpy stuff in our faith. God's word and our faith is not wimpy, because Ephesians 6:16 says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." And that's not wimpy. That is a strong faith. The Bible tells us that bad things are going to happen to us. You think of every Bible character through the Bible, and something bad happened to them. Sometimes it was their own fault. Sometimes it just happened. And it's going to happen. There's a verse in Exodus that says, "When you walk through the waters," it's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to us. That's not the question. Sometimes bad things happen, and it is not our fault. Some of you are sitting in this room right now, and you're struggling with major illnesses, or your children are struggling with major illnesses. You've had accidents in your family. You've had deaths in your family. You may have had a cheating spouse. You may have had a loss of job. You may have had a teenager or a young adult in your family who are making horrible decisions, and it's not your fault. Bad stuff happens, and you are dealing with it because God's grace is sufficient for you. Or you may not be dealing with it, but you can be, because God's grace is sufficient for you. Some of you right now are dealing with some little piddly stuff, and you are making mountains out of molehills, because it's really not that big of a deal, but you're moody, and you're hard to live with, and you're a pain to be around, because you're making just stuff bad, and it's really, in the whole scheme of life, it's really not. We all can deal with unforgiveness, or we can be forgiving. We can deal with bitterness. We can be bitter, or we can use stuff that happens to be better. We can be moody, or we can say, "I'm going to go on. Things are not going to bring me down." And so my thoughts sort of on life are, it's really short, even if you're going to live 100 years like I plan to. But it's really short, and I'm going to make the best of what I have right here on earth. I'm not going to live with regrets. I'm going to choose being better over bitterness. The strong tower that we sang about a while ago, I want to be a strong tower, and not just on the outside that caves in because there's nothing on the inside. I want to be strong from the inside out. And I wish I had it all figured out. But we're all in this together, and so for the next few minutes, I'm just going to tell you a few things that I have figured out, or maybe a few things that I should have figured out and didn't, and maybe some things I say will help you, or maybe some things I say will make you think, "Well, I don't want to do that, so I'm really going to do better." As a high school senior, I felt called to ministry, and it just so I was in Louisiana. No, I was in Florida at the time as a high school senior. And it just so happened in Alabama, there was this guy who was also in high school, and he also felt called to ministry. I went to Louisiana College and majored in religious education. He went to Sanford and majored in religion. It just so happened in January 1979, we both ended up at the same place at the same time, Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. And a couple of years later, we were married. We had the most romantic meeting of all. We met in 8 o'clock classes. Baptist history and personal evangelism. Can you get more romantic than that? And so by the time we both graduated, it was pretty clear that our course in life was going to be ministry. I mean, it truly is all that we wanted to do, and in all honesty, it's all that we knew how to do. I mean, that's we have both had a bachelor's and both had a master's degree in ministry. I mean, we don't know how to do anything else. And so that was our course in life. That's what we wanted to do. So by the late 1980s, we had our two little boys. We lived in this little town that we loved. Barry was pastor of First Baptist Church in that little town. I was the church pianist. I taught Sunday school. I planned things for the young moms. He coached Little League, was a volunteer fireman. You know, just this great life. It was great. Well, on August 18th, 1989, which is 20 years from this Tuesday, actually, the first really bad or hard thing happened in our life. And on that day, we had our third son, and his name was David. And at the time, that was great. We didn't know anything was wrong. But when he was a few weeks old, we realized that he wasn't progressing like he should. Started going to doctors. They couldn't figure out what was wrong because he looked perfect on the outside, just wasn't doing what he should be, wasn't developing. And so we ended up with an appointment to go to a neurologist for a CAT scan. The doctors had already said, we know there's something wrong, we don't know what it is, but we'll just start doing CAT scans. Well, I have to keep going back to, my grace is sufficient for you. It just so happened, God knew what was going to be happening on that next day. We were in Huntsville at the Alabama State Convention. And the very last speaker on that night was David Ring. And David Ring is an evangelist who has cerebral palsy. And he preached that night, I promise you, the very last thing that was said at the Alabama State Convention in 1989 was a sermon entitled, Don't Ask Why, Ask What. And he went through his testimony about having cerebral palsy and how he had overcome that. And the point of what he said that night was, bad things are going to happen to you, but there's no use spending the rest of your life asking, why me, why did this have to happen? Let's just get on with it and say, okay, so what am I going to do with this? God's put this in my life, or it's happened in my life, and let's do something with it. What am I going to do? Well, of course, that was burning in our minds, and the next day we come to Birmingham and have our CAT scan done. Within a couple of hours, doctor comes back, gives us our diagnosis. David has leucencephaly. You hadn't heard of it because at that time there were about 500 known cases in the world. But David's brain was like a rubber ball. It was as smooth as could be, didn't have one wrinkle on it. And if you don't know about brain development, wrinkles give you intelligence. And so David basically had no intelligence. His brain had stopped forming as a 3-month-old fetus. And so that's why he wasn't developing, because his little brain had nothing to give him. Well, of course, we were devastated. But we came home that night with the determination, because God had put that sermon in our life the night before, of we're going to be sad, and we're not going to hide that, and we know our church family and our friends are going to support us and our family, but we are going to say, what can we do with this? Not, why did we have to have a handicapped special needs child? We have too much to do. We didn't plan on having a handicapped child. Nobody plans on having a handicapped child. Nobody plans to be handicapped. But it took us a few years to realize that. But you know, through those years, we had some great joys with David. First of all, we had some really hard times. I would be lying in the hospital room with him, and I would be thinking, God, we are drained financially and spiritually and emotionally and physically. We can't keep doing this. Why? Why? And always it would come back, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. If for no other reason, and this was said at David's funeral, for no other reason, one good thing came from David's life. Lots of things did, but we know there's two people in heaven because little David Graves was born. Our doctor one day said, how do y'all just keep going with this? You don't seem to get down. And of course we did, but you just don't seem to get down. How do you keep going? Sort of an open door to share your testimony. Barry later baptized him. There was a little lady at the dentist office, and she had a 2-year-old child with cerebral palsy, and the dentist invited her to come to church. She said, oh, I can't come to church. I've got a handicapped child. They couldn't take care of him. And he said, Our pastor has a child who is 2, and he's in the nursery, and he's in a wheelchair, and I think they can take care of him. She came. She was also baptized later in our church. And so, you know, he was a missionary, even though he never even held his head up, never knew he was in the world. And so, first thing is, bad things happen to us. It wasn't anybody's fault that David's brain never developed. But good things can come from bad circumstances. And if nothing else, the good thing is we learned that good things can come from bad circumstances, even if he had not touched other people's lives. Okay, we're going to have to move. Okay, fast forward a few years. David's 5 now, and we're still pastoring a church. We have our great little family. Boys are playing football and baseball by this time. And we're just perking along, taking care of David, but, you know, we got that most of the time. We're good. Out of the blue, no warning, we lose everything. We lose our church because of some bad decisions. We lose our church. We lose our ministry. We lose our house. We lose everything. A couple of weeks later, we move in with the in-laws, with Barry's parents, all 5 of us. There were some hard days during that time. There was some fears of what does the future hold? What's going to happen with us? Barry's parents were members at Shades Mountain Baptist Church, so, well, I guess we're going to come to Shades Mountain Baptist Church. We were going to sit in the back corner, and we were going to hide, and we were going to heal. We didn't ever fill out a Vistra card. We didn't want anybody to know we were here. We were just going to sit and do nothing for a while and just get well. Well, one of the first Sundays we were here, there was a musical called God Will Find a Way. And one of the lines in that song is, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And I specifically remember sitting down in the center section in the back in our worship center thinking, this time, God, there is no way. What are we going to do? We don't have a job. We don't have a place to live. We've got 3 kids. We've got one of them handicapped. What are we going to do? There's really no way this time. We surely are never going to be in ministry again. And a few months later, we prayed and prayed and prayed. That was our prayer was, we want to be in ministry. That's all we know how to do. That's all we can do. That's all we want to do. We want to be in ministry, but it's just not going to happen right now. So what are we going to do? Well, Barry and David were sitting out in the car on our way to go to the hospital to get a feeding tube for David. I had to run back in the house and pick up something. The phone rings. I promise you this is true. Phone rings, and it's Bill Reed, Minister of Education at Shades Mountain Baptist Church. He said, you want to come to work? I said, well, I can. I'm on the way to the hospital. Fixing to have surgery. It'll be a while. He said, well, we'll talk. So the next week, David was still in the hospital. I came up and interviewed. And after David got well from that surgery, the end of March, I started working in the children's office as the part-time assistant to the children's minister. Exactly a year to the week from when I started, the minister of children left to go to another church. Bill Reed called me back in his office and he said, well, what are we going to do now? You think you can handle it? I don't know. Hadn't worked on staff since I was in seminary 14 years ago, but I, of course, had been volunteering in the church all through the years when Barry was pastoring. And so we gave it a try, and that was 14 and a half years ago, and it's still working. Because God had a plan for us, and his grace was sufficient. Okay, we're going to really fast forward. Next few years have been great. We're doing good. David died in 2002, but even in his death, God's grace was sufficient. I had always prayed that I would be holding David when he died. I was holding him. He quit breathing, and he went from my arms into the arms of Jesus. And then, you know what? He was perfectly healed. He could walk and talk and whatever all the other little boys in heaven do, he's doing right now. Actually, he would be 20 on Tuesday, so he's a big boy now. Well, things were just, you know, we're doing good. Boys are gone. We're empty nesters. We're even learning you can enjoy being an empty nester. And March 25th, 2009 comes along. And it was really just a regular morning. Things were good. Things were good at home. Our last conversation was, who's going to take the shirts to the cleaners? It's the last thing we said that day. We didn't talk that day. Usually we do. Just was a busy day. We hadn't talked. 5 o'clock, Keith calls and said, can you meet me in Danny's office? And they say, Barry died today. I said, Barry who? I mean, I really did. Barry who? And they said, Barry died today. I said, my Barry? He said, yes. And I said, what happened? They said, he committed suicide. Talk about being blindsided. No warning. Just like sort of the other times. No warning at all. But God's grace is sufficient. God knew from the beginning of time what was going to happen on March 25th, 2009. Satan intended evil to happen on March 25th, 2009. And for a short time, Satan had the victory. Whatever he did to convince Barry that taking his own life was the right thing to do, Satan had the victory, because we know that was not the right thing to do. But Satan does not have the victory. When John happened to be in Atlanta, again, just happened to be in Atlanta the day that Barry died, and a really strong guy from Briarwood was 1 minute from where John was having dinner that night. He went and picked John up. They drove home from Atlanta. They had 2 hours to talk and pray. And Sherry, it was just like when Rick Burgess walked through Children's Hospital the night that Bronner died. He said, where are they? I'm ready. John walked in that back door and he said, what do we need to do? I'm ready. We're going to be fine. And at that moment, I knew we're going to be fine. That was my biggest concern, was the boys. I knew we were going to be fine. Satan intended evil, but God wanted to use this to make us better. And our choice is, God's going to use this to make us better. Have we had some awful, awful, awful days since March 25th? Of course we have. The greatest sadness I've ever known, the most aloneness I thought I didn't even know that you could experience. Anger, I have been so mad at Barry Graves, mad as can be. But those are normal reactions. They're going to happen. But we have chosen, we're not going to stay mad. We're not going to stay bitter. We're not going to stay unforgiving. We are going to get better. And we are. We are better. And it's because God's grace is sufficient. I don't have any magic words or anything that just makes it okay, because it's not okay. And I don't have the answers. I'm 4 months into it. I'm not 4 years or 10 years. I'm 4 months into it. But what I know is God's grace is sufficient. It was sufficient when David was diagnosed and when we lived with David for 12 years and taking care of him. It was sufficient when we lost everything and God had something else even better prepared for us. And it is sufficient today for John and Chad and me. God's grace is sufficient. And I'm probably going to go 2 minutes over, Susan, because I've got one more page. Here are two or three things that I've learned about faith growing in hard, hard times. This is one. I've learned that faith grows during storms, and I would consider this a storm in our life, and I'm just going to read these 4 lines. Even during storms, when the wind is most intense, we are more than conquerors. God is there to meet you in the center of each trial. Listen to this. And he will whisper to you his secrets, which will bring you out with a radiant face and such an invincible faith that all the demons of hell will never be able to shake it. God has that for every one of us, every one of us. So what's the takeaway from all this? Well, the few months before Barry died, I had been reading some verses that I really like, and I really was just reading them as a promise to God. We were in that empty nest time when we were just trying to decide what was going to happen in the next few years, ministry-wise. You know, where were we going to go? What were we going to do? And to be honest, he was wanting to do some things that I really didn't want to do. Been some hard things, like mission kind of stuff and all of that. So I was reading these verses very often. And let me read these to you. It's from Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. And what at the time, I was just praying these verses and reading them all the time, because I wanted to be able to say, whatever, wherever, no matter what we have, whatever we don't have, I'm willing to do whatever you want us to do, God. But I think what these verses mean is that We need to be making choices about how we're going to respond when things happen. Not if things happen. Something is going to happen in your life. Somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to lose a job. Something's going to happen. And we just need to be ready. It's not that we live our life saying, oh, I wonder if this is it. Is this the big thing? No, we live joyful lives. But let's just be ready. We tell our kids to be ready. Know that you're going to say no when somebody offers you a cigarette or drugs or alcohol. Just know you're going to say no. Well, the same thing, I think, needs to apply to us. Know that when something happens that just blindsides us, we're going to be strong. Can we be sad? Yes, but we don't have to crumble. Know that we're going to be strong. And I got this out of a book I've recently read, and it says, in my time of distress, I will flee to God. I will maintain my spiritual composure under the darkest of circumstances. In the midst of everything, I will delight myself with the sacred joy in God and have cheerful expectations of Him. That means I'm going to do that no matter what. I am going to be strong. I am going to do what God expects me to do, no matter what, because His grace is sufficient for you. And we may be thinking, well, I don't have that grace right now. No, you probably don't. But when you need it, God's going to give it. He doesn't necessarily give us this storehouse of grace just waiting for something to happen. But when we need it, it is right there. It's not maybe it'll be there. We hope it will be there. But remember, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to read this out of a book that my friend Susan gave me, out of Streams in the Desert. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercies. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power no boundary known unto men.